You're listening to SBS News.
Just after 11 o'clock at night on October 12, 2002, three bombs were detonated in Bali. The first by a suicide bomber inside Paddy's Bar at Kuta Beach. 20 seconds later, a second suicide bomber set off a much more powerful car bomb outside the Sari Club. And then a much smaller bomb was triggered remotely outside the United States consulate in Denpasar. 202 people from 23 countries died, while a further 209 were injured. 88 of the victims were Australians, including 39-year-old twin sisters Jane and Jenny Courtine from Western Australia. Their mother, June Courtine, says receiving the official confirmation of their deaths was nothing like anything she'd experienced.
I used to say it was like a gunshot in the chest, but the ache that I had, I never ever want to feel again, because it was just horrendous. And I suppose a lot of parents that lose children would have exactly the same feeling.
Some of the survivors were initially flown to Darwin for medical care for burns, shrapnel wounds, head injuries and fractures. Dr. Gary Lunn from Royal Darwin Hospital provided media briefings in the days after the bombings.
We're seeing a range of burns, from extremely severe full body burns involving full thickness, that's all of the skin, through to simpler, smaller sort of areas of burns.
Dr. David Reed showed the media an X-ray which revealed eight ball bearings in a victim's chest.
Blast injury per se is a very unforgiving way to get injured. There's the way it can cause damage is protean and also affects multiple parts of the body at the same time.
For the surviving holidaymakers, emotions and sentiments varied as they arrived back in Australia.
Sad. Sad for the Balinese people. You know, there was no one on the streets the next day.
It is good to be back on home soil and, back safely, because there were reports that there were bombs still there waiting to go off.
We were pretty close to being traumatised, let's say. We were a few minutes away from the disaster.
So too was John Lozinski, who flew back to Australia on the night of the bombings while his friends partied at the Sari Club.
Everyone that was in front or the side or the middle of the club, they're all gone. And I was sending some text messages like, yeah, okay, no answers. And you're hoping maybe they're okay, maybe they're in a hospital, but I knew they were gone.
Candace Buchan lost her parents in the bombings.
I remember when the bomb went off like it was yesterday. I sometimes wonder why I got out of the club that night and why I wasn't left there. I always think, what if I still had my mum, or what if I still had my dad? Would it have been any easier for me if I had one parent? I will never know.
Members of the Al-Qaeda-inspired group Jamaa Islamiya were found responsible for the bombings. Professor of Global Islamic Politics at Deakin University, Greg Barton, says the bombers chose to target nightclubs because they regarded them as legitimate symbolic targets.
They were looking for foreigners involved in going to a nightclub, which they could then frame as being sinful and decadent. That was the perverted logic behind their target selection. Of course, many of their victims were Indonesians, not just Hindu Balinese, but Muslims from Java and elsewhere. So it was terribly callous and indiscriminate. But they thought they were being discriminate in targeting what was a foreign venue of, from their point of view, hedonistic indulgence.
In November 2008, three men were executed for their role in the bombings, and others have either been jailed or killed by Indonesian authorities. The 2002 bombings, just a little over a year after the September 11 terror attacks in the United States, brought terrorism to Australia's doorstep. With 88 Australians killed, it was and remains the largest loss of Australian life in a single terror event. Former Immigration Minister Amanda Vanstone has told the National Museum of Australia the Bali bombings were a defining moment for the country.
I think that brought home to Australians that the terrorism that they saw around the world was on their doorstep. and had a very dramatic effect on how we looked upon each other and clearly how Australians who were non-Muslims looked at Muslims through no fault of the Muslim community in Australia and no fault of the non-Muslim community.
It's a view shared by Carl Kent, who helped lead the victim identification process in Bali on behalf of the Australian Federal Police.
That notion of ongoing vigilance, making sure that we can, wherever possible, prevent attacks of this nature, was deeply ingrained into our psyche as a result of Bali. And there have been so many instances across Australia where attacks of this nature have been thwarted through the efforts of dedicated police officers and intelligence professionals who do this every day. For that, I think all of us are eternally grateful.
Working as an inspector of forensic services, Carl Kent presided over a team of specialists that followed a disaster victim identification protocol developed by Interpol.
It's against that protocol that we train all of our forensic specialists who participate in that process. And they in themselves are a multidisciplinary team comprising forensic pathologists, forensic dentists, radiologists, crime scene officers, fingerprint experts and DNA specialists. And they were being drawn not only from government laboratories but also from the private sector in the case of forensic dentists who played a significant role in identification.
Paul Vanney is the president of the Coogee Dolphins Rugby League Club. Six members of the club were among the 88 Australian victims.
I think it certainly changed lives forever for the guys that were there, that survived and came back. It has changed their lives forever. Some of them deal with it in various different ways. We've been fortunate enough to have some mental health counselling and support available to anybody in the club, which has been good and it has helped. It's a day-to-day struggle for many people.
Mr. Vanney says the club devotes time to raising money for charity, and he says this work has helped him deal with the aftermath of losing six teammates.
If you dwell on the evil, then the evil consumes you. You know, the forgiveness is all the good things that we can do and that people have done for us. And so it's more about giving thanks to that than having to forgive others for their treachery.
June Courtine plans to mark the 20th anniversary by visiting Bali to honour the memory of her twin daughters.
Hi, I'm here. I just came to check on you to make sure you're okay. Yes, I'd probably say I love you and I miss you. But that would be all. Just the feeling of being there where they were would be ideal.
Greg Dyett, SBS News.